the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. We really love you and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel of love.
Fake Lives, a 10-man fic, written by Entangled Now, read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. Summary. Kane improvises. Glitch is confused. Kane is normally easy to find. It's the hat. Definitely the hat. The hat and the coat are distinctive. And even when Glitch isn't entirely sure why he's looking for the hat and the coat, or what will happen when he finds them, he always knows that he should, in some way, be looking for them. Which is uncharacteristically hopeful of his brain. Sometimes there's even bluster and shouting to go along with the hat and the coat, which makes them even easier to find. But the hat and the coat are the most important, like some sort of pictorial reference which manages to stay in his brain by virtue of its symbolic nature. He's not quite sure what the hat and the coat are supposed to symbolize. There should be some sort of book about the hat and the coat and how they pertain to Kane. He should write a book about Kane. He should write a book about symbolism. He probably would have continued on that track, but someone gets thrown out of a house, which seems symbolic in a Kane sort of way, so he goes inside, and finds Kane in the middle of a group of very angry thin men, the tallest and thinnest of which is shaking his head at Kane's obviously annoyed expression. They appear to be arguing over a giant silver head. "No," the thin man says very sharply. "The rules are very clear. It can only be a gift, a wedding gift. We cannot give it to you." Glitch weaves his way between thin men, with as much politeness as is possible when knocking into outstretched thin limbs, because it's apparently a very hazardous affair. "Kane?" "There you are," Kane says, with a suspicious amount of relief, which is very odd, because Glitch is fairly sure Kane didn't know he was coming. How can Kane expect him when he hadn't known he was going to show up until very recently? He's fairly sure Kane hasn't developed any sudden mind-reading powers. Fairly sure. The sleeve of his jacket is snagged in one of Kane's large hands, and he's hauled the rest of the way, sending three of the thin men wobbling like skittles. Then he's squashed into Kane's side like some sort of bizarre accessory, and that's an entirely strange and unusual thing for Kane to do, what with his very strict and seemingly non-verbalized, no touching except under threat of death or peril rule. "We're getting married," Kane says seriously. Glitch isn't expecting that. "We are?" Because he feels that's the sort of important need-to-know information that people shouldn't let him forget. "He forgets things," Kane says carefully. "What with the..." There's a rather rude and unnecessary finger gesture concerning his zipper. "I'm pretty sure I would have remembered that," Glitch tells him, and now he's very confused, because he's pretty sure that would be something he definitely would remember. Kane's fingers are suddenly in his arms, sharp and intent, and Glitch is certain there's some sort of secret language embedded in their positioning and pressure, but that doesn't appear to be part of his knowledge. Either way, he decides, it's probably best if he doesn't say anything else. The very thin man, after a protracted huddle with the others, and some conversation that involves lots of serious talking, and some emphatic arm-waving, agrees to give Kane the giant silver head, which he puts into a bag and pulls the drawstring on very tightly, which is rather bewildering, but it seems to make Kane happy. Kane continues to be happy, until they're out of the house and back on the road, where he immediately stops being happy and hovers somewhere between annoyed and relieved. "Here." Kane dumps the shiny silver head in a bag into Glitch's arms, and it's heavy. It's heavy in a way that isn't interesting in a tactile and distracting way, but just heavy in a metallic and strenuous sort of way that he should probably protest about. Kane is really sometimes very rude. "I don't know why I agreed to marry you," Glitch says tartly. "Technically, you didn't," Kane points out. "What?" Glitch's brain pauses, jumps unnecessarily ahead, and then gets very confused about where it started from originally. "Technically, you didn't. I was improvising." Which in some ways is reassuring, because weddings are very expensive, and really, he doesn't know many people that he'd invite. But in other ways, well, it's just very confusing, and the only way Glitch knows how to deal with confusing is to either sit in it and be confused until it goes away, or to poke at it until it makes sense. Sometimes one of those will happen before he forgets everything again. "Can we not get embroiled in situations that require me to have a fake life? I have enough trouble with the two real ones I already have." "Had? Have?" Kane winds a hand around his arm and steers him in the general direction that Glitch has little choice but to assume they're going. "Will you stop sniping? I was trying not to end up buried alive in a tree somewhere." "They bury people alive in trees?" Glitch is aghast, because that sounds thoroughly horrible. "Maybe. I didn't really want to find out. Well, I've already done the unpleasantly high birdcage, and that wasn't fun at all," Glitch tells him, in case he hasn't told him before. "Next time, just go with it," Kane says, with the air of someone who's certain he has never gotten confused in his whole life. That doesn't seem particularly wise, considering.
Considering what?
Considering you're very persuasive, and I'm in danger of forgetting that our fake life isn't real, or forgetting we're supposed to be having a fake life to start with, which may be good for the plan, but it's definitely bad for me. Glitch shakes his head fiercely. "I can't start believing in things that aren't real, because that way lies madness. Do you know how easy it is to go mad with half a brain? Astonishingly easy." He stares down at his arms and the giant silver head in a bag, and he has no idea what it's for or why he's carrying it. He's about to ask about that, but when he looks up, Kane has stopped walking and is wearing a very intent expression. "What's wrong?"
"I'm sorry," he says quietly.
Glitch raises an eyebrow.
"For what?"
"Being an ass." Glitch makes a noise in his nose, because really, that's a very non-specific thing to apologize for. The head is really quite heavy. "Is it bad that I have no idea what this is?" It's very hard to gesture with a fake head in a bag, but Glitch tries his best, and also manages not to drop it on his own feet, which is always a bonus, because no one likes having broken toes. He doesn't know whether he's actually broken his own toes or not, but he can imagine that it's not very pleasant at all. He's going to tell Kane that, too, and he probably would have done, but Kane pushes his hat back on his head, and then tips at the waist and kisses him. Glitch has no hands. He's fairly sure you're supposed to have hands available when someone kisses you, though it doesn't seem to matter. Kane's hands are doing just fine, and they know exactly where Glitch's head has to be to make everything briefly very, very interesting indeed, until Kane stops kissing him, hand sliding out of his hair. Glitch instantly misses the contact. People don't touch him like that anymore.
"What was that for?" Glitch asks curiously.
"For being part of my fake life," Kane says softly, and then he clears his throat and pushes his hat back so Glitch can't see his eyes at all.
"You're sometimes very confusing, you know. Do you want me to carry the head?"
"What? Oh no, I'm fine," Glitch tells him. And he is.
Going to the chapel and we're